You're listening to the Dungeons, Dragons, and Psychology Podcast. Picture this. Your players are in an ecstatic state to such a point that they feel as they almost don't exist. Their characters seem to be acting devoid of themselves, having nothing to do with the real world, almost as though the players are sitting there watching the story unfold with their characters' actions in a state of awe and wonderment. This is the flow state. I'm Robert Walker, author of Session Zero, the DMG to Writing Great Campaigns in Any System, and this is my show, where I teach collaborative storytellers how to have more immersive campaigns using psychology. Today, we're going to be talking about the flow state, or flow theory. Now, this theory was developed by psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, and that was back in the 1970s. And the theory suggests that learners can experience optimal learning when they perform tasks that are characterized by a skills challenge balance and include a person's interest, control, and intense focus. Now, this theory has been expounded upon greatly in recent years, especially in work psychology and creative psychology, where you're talking about being in a creative flow state or a work flow state. But I believe that this theory also applies to role-playing games. I'm sure you can think about moments like this, where the time just flies by at your table without anyone really thinking about how much time has been passing, or even considering the real world, because they're so invested, they're so caught up in the story. And I believe it is because of those things. The players are engaged in a way that is challenging to them, but they are able to apply their skills to. You have their interest, they have some control over the story, and they have intense focus. That is the state of flow. That is what flow theory suggests. And today, we're going to talk about how you can use the idea of flow theory, how you can manipulate those things that trigger the flow state, control, focus, interest, and challenge, to create that sort of immersive environment around your gaming table. So first, let's talk about the keys that we're going to use. The keys we're going to be looking at are energized, focused, full involvement, and enjoyment or interest. It's the feeling of being in the zone and being completely absorbed and thriving in the moment. So how do we achieve this state of flow while playing a role-playing game? Here's some ways to help with that. First, you need a clearly defined challenge. The challenge presented by the game, whether it's a combat encounter or a puzzle or a social interaction that needs to be handled in a certain way, it needs to be stimulating, but it also has to be achievable. If it's too easy, players will get bored. If it's too hard, they will get frustrated. You need to find the sweet spot that lies in the zone where their character's skills can be adequately tested and utilized in order to achieve victory. It should be challenging enough that they have to think creatively about how to solve the problem, but they need to have the tools available to solve the problem, if that makes sense. Next, you need to have clear goals. Having clear goals, whether defeating a monster or completing a quest or solving a riddle, it provides direction and a sense of purpose. The focus will keep them engaged and motivated, so knowing what they need to be doing is going to provide them that focus. And then you need to provide feedback, immediate feedback. Role-playing games are excellent at providing feedback throughout dice rolls, but you also need to have Dungeon Master descriptions and character interactions. This constant feedback loop will reinforce their actions and keep them dialed into the game. So when you notice a player perhaps start to waver out of that creative zone where they're drifting back into the real world, so to speak, try and re-engage them with a little bit of in-character dialogue or shift the spotlight to their character for a moment so that they are reinvested in what is happening. So how does the DM set the stage for all of those key things? Well, let's look first at the challenge and the skill balance. First, you want to have some dynamic difficulty. You need to adjust your encounters based on the current performance of the players. If they're breezing through it, introduce some additional enemies or new environmental hazards or additional puzzles. Also, if they're struggling, you could offer opportunities to even the odds, like an ally showing up or giving them an advantage in an environmental situation. Next, tailor the challenges to your player's strength. If you have a fighter that loves tactical combat, for example, you could design an encounter that requires strategic positioning and resource management to set the stage for the battle or set up where troop locations are going to be, things that get more in depth with the tactics and the things that that player likes and would be really interesting for their character as well. With clear goals, one of the things you can do is provide vivid descriptions by painting a picture with words. When you describe the sights, the sounds, the smells of the environment, it's going to make things, including goals, feel more tangible and immersive. One way that you can do this really well when you are giving like a quest, which is going to be a goal for your characters to complete, is you can be very vivid in describing the quest and the importance of the quest and connecting with whoever the quest giver is to the players. If they can connect and have like an empathic moment with that individual or group or whoever it is that's giving the quest, if they feel connected to it and you describe it vividly and make a passionate plea to the players, they're going to have a greater response to that than just, you know, looking at a signboard and taking a job off of that. It's going to be much more impactful if they've made a personal connection. So think about that. And then break down overarching quests into smaller, achievable objectives. That's something I do with my own goal setting in real life, but it also works great in a role-playing game. It provides a very clear path forward and gives you a sense of accomplishment with every milestone that you reach along the way. This is something we're talking a lot about in our episodes that we're doing right now on leveling up as character classes, is having milestones and smaller goals that all lead you on steps towards your bigger overarching goal. When it comes to feedback, one of my favorite ways to give feedback is to provide descriptive consequences. Describing the results of your player's actions vividly. Did they successfully disarm a trap? If they didn't, what happened? If they did, let them hear the satisfying click of the deactivated gears. Or perhaps their spell backfired. Describe the unexpected effects in detail and let them picture that in their mind. And then in-character reactions are awesome too. So with NPCs, you can let NPCs react realistically to player actions. A grateful villager offering them a reward, or a defeated villain cursing them with their final breath. Even something as simple as people responding honestly to the character actions that are taking place around them. You know, if a character on the street sees one of the characters doing something just odd, make a joke of it. You know, how would a person respond to that in real life? And it can create a moment of comedy around the table. But also, that laughter can also help draw into the state of flow, because everybody is sparking their excitement and their creativity, and they have that moment of thinking as their character, oh yeah, well, maybe this isn't exactly the place to try and sneak around in broad daylight on the middle of a street or something like that. But another really great way that I like to do this is by having player input, incorporating your players' ideas into the results of actions. This is so much fun. For example, if your character scores a critical hit in combat, one really easy way to make the combat more immersive and have the player have more of an opportunity to fall into that flow state is to have them provide the description of what's happening with their critical. So for example, if they're, you know, swinging a longsword and they score a critical hit on someone who's not the main big bad boss, but, you know, one of his minions, you can go ahead and tell him, okay, yes, you fell this foe, but I want you to describe to the group how you do it. And they will come up with some really creative ideas about how they swing their sword or what kind of cool flip or twist or action that their character takes. And the moments when your players are describing what their character is doing and it is part of the story, it's part of what's happening in the world, those moments are truly key for immersion. Same thing when a player has a critical mishap. As a DM, you could let them describe it, but you can also take the approach of critical misses aren't always failures. Sometimes they can be successes with consequences, or something just goes a little bit differently. Like, I have always liked the successes with consequences rule if I'm trying to move them forward on a path and a failure just wouldn't fit the story very well. So it could be something like if they're trying to make an attack on something before it escapes, perhaps, yes, they're able to successfully make the attack, but in the attack, they're gravely wounded and fall themselves. Then the players have to deal with that situation as well, but then the enemy who you didn't want to escape still doesn't have the ability to escape, or whatever the scenario might be. But think about different ways that you can describe and make critical failures also be exciting and interesting and very descriptive. And you could even let them describe how they fumble or how they fall or what their character does in a catastrophic failure like that. That could be just as fun as letting them do it with critical successes. So keep those in mind. There are a couple of additional tips I will give you to set the stage for the flow state. The first would be minimizing distractions. You want to encourage your players to put away their phones and focus on the game. Next is background ambience. I've talked about this before, but a little bit of music in the background or some sounds that enhance the setting without being distracting can also add another layer of immersion to your story. Positive reinforcement would be another suggestion. So celebrating your players' successes and highlighting their clever solutions. I always make a point of letting my players know if they've come up with a solution I hadn't considered, because I think that's really cool when they think of something that I, as a DM, had not thought of. And sometimes their ideas are way better than mine. Also, something I've mentioned in the past that you can do is if they're just talking around the table and they have a really cool idea that sounds like it would be more interesting than whatever idea you had planned, don't be afraid to steal those ideas right from your players, because it was on their mind. They were already clearly thinking about how cool that would be. Go ahead and take that, maybe twist it a little bit, and then they can be like, oh my gosh, we were right all along. This is exactly what we were talking about. Even if it wasn't what you had originally planned, pay attention to the things that they think would be interesting for the story. And sometimes they are more interesting than what you had planned, and they can be an excellent source of inspiration and ideas for you just by paying attention to what your characters are saying. And finally, and this one's really important, maintain pacing. So you've got to avoid dragging out sessions or rushing through encounters. You want a steady flow that's going to keep players engaged. You don't want them to feel like they're bogged down, and you don't want them to feel like they're moving way too quickly. Keep them in that sweet spot, just like you're doing with the challenge. The pacing of the game needs to stay the same. If you're stuck in a combat for two or three sessions, that's probably not going to be a lot of fun for people. But if you're able to have every session have a decent mix of combat and roleplay, and if you do what I've talked about in the past, where you include roleplay moments in your combat encounters or puzzles that need to be solved during combat, you can effectively engage everybody, even if they're not a combat-based character, when they're in combat, or if they are a combat-based character and they're out of combat, you can find ways to incorporate every type of player into every type of situation if you play to their strengths and you tailor your stories and your challenges for the party that you have at the table. So if you incorporate these techniques, you'll help foster an environment where your players feel challenged and capable. They have clear goals, constant feedback, and it's going to set the stage for them to enter that optimal state of enjoyment and lose themselves in the immersive flow of the RPG experience. Let's move on to tricks of the trade. Today in Tricks of the Trade, we're focusing on helping your players achieve that coveted flow state. So here are three challenges you, the DM, could throw their way to get them fully immersed in the game. The first challenge is a mystery montage. Here the party will stumble upon a cryptic clue or a riddle left behind by a mysterious figure, and this clue hints at a hidden location. The hidden location could have a vital piece of information for whatever big quest they're working on, or it could just be a treasure chest or something that might just be shiny and exciting for them. Here you have a clear goal. The players have the singular objective of deciphering the clue and finding the location, and this can give them focus and direction. Then you want to include skill balance. Require a combination of skills. They might need historical knowledge to understand the reference, logic puzzles to break the code, or role-playing to interrogate locals for additional information. This could cater to very different player strengths, and you could incorporate multiple necessities into this for the skill challenge part. And then immediate feedback, their investigation should yield incremental progress. They should be learning one piece at a time. They might find a scrap of information here, decipher a symbol there, or discover a hidden passage later. Each discovery should be reinforcing their efforts and keep them engaged as this montage progresses until they finally achieve the goal of figuring it out. Challenge number two, the timed heist. Here, the party would need to infiltrate a guarded location and steal an artifact with a strict time limit. This could be a magical vault, a corrupt official's mansion, a dragon's hoard, whatever you might want to do. So this provides some dynamic difficulty. The time pressure will create a ticking clock element. You might even want to set a background sound of a ticking clock that could really drive attention and constantly remind your players that they need to be focused on this. They will have to adapt their strategies on the fly if things don't go according to plan, which will keep them on their toes. They have clear goals, and there are clear phases to this. The overall objective is clear, get the artifact, but the challenge can be broken down into those smaller phases. Again, you have the infiltration, disabling traps, securing the loot, and escaping. This all can provide a sense of accomplishment with each completed phase, all the while that clock is ticking, making them fret that they're not going to be successful and they need to just stay focused and stay on it. Next, you need to match the skills and the challenge. The heist will allow your players to utilize a wide variety of skill sets. Rogues can disable traps, fighters can overpower guards, spellcasters can create diversions or silence. This will let them feel their strengths are valuable to the success of the mission and make sure you cater that to the players at your table. Challenge three, the persuasive performance. Now, for this, the setup is the party needs to convince some powerful individual, be it a king or a guildmaster or a dragon, whoever you choose to have as their powerful individual, they need to be convinced to lend the party aid in their quest. Now, this could be done through eloquent arguments or an emotional appeal or, the one I really like in this, a staged performance. Perhaps they need to do a performance for a dragon who only respects things that are done in an artistic manner. But here it will be creative problem solving. There's not maybe a single solution to how they're going to get this person's aid. So the players need to think outside the box and tailor their approach to the specific personality and motivations of the target and the abilities of their characters. This is going to encourage some creative collaboration amongst your players. And then immediate feedback. Their interactions with the target should provide immediate feedback. Body language shift, changes in tones, partial concessions, all of these could signal progress in their endeavor or roadblocks that they're encountering. And it could keep them actively engaged in you and adjusting their strategy towards the goal. And the skill balance of this one is awesome. This challenge caters to a wide variety of player strengths. You can have the silver-tongued bard charming their way through, or a fighter could appeal to a sense of honor and duty, or a paladin could do that as well. It allows each player to sort of feel that their skills are relevant. And like I said, that's such an important part of this story being immersive, is it needs to feel like it is challenging but achievable to the strengths that each character has around the table, so that every player feels like they are part of this unraveling story. So incorporate these challenges, these ideas into your campaign. Remember, you can nudge your players towards that flow state. When they feel fully engaged and immersed in the world you've created, they will be more easily able to fall into the flow state. And remember, Cyclothids, the key is to provide a clear goal, a balanced challenge that utilizes their skills and strengths, and constant feedback to keep them motivated and in the zone. That is all for today, Cyclothids. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. We are still continuing our Level Up in Real Life series, so keep an eye out for that if you are interested in doing some self-improvement along with us. If not, that's totally fine as well. I'm still going to keep putting out these other episodes that are more like our traditional format and give you ideas about your games and your stories as you're creating them. One really cool new feature that has been added to the podcast is fan mail. Now, you will find a link before the episode description that lets you send us a text message. So if you would like to just send us a quick message about something that you really liked about an episode, thoughts you have. But what I'm really looking for from your messages right now is I'm curious what episodes you would like to see done, what concepts you would like to see explored, and what things that you would like more clarification on. So if you have ideas for what you would like me to give to you, the listeners, my Cyclothids, then please just click on that link. It just says text us Cyclothids, and you can send us a text message to the show. And I will work on putting some of those episodes together for you so that you're getting content that's truly useful for what it is you're looking for right now. As always, my friends, I will see you next session.